It is so good to see everybody here this evening. Especially those of you that are visiting, you are indeed our most welcome and our most honored guest. We hope that you feel so welcome that you want to come back and worship God together with us again, and you study with us from the Word of God. For the last few weeks, I've been doing a series of lessons on our Christian worship to God, and what I would like to show you in the lesson this evening is how our worship to our God is an expression from our hearts to God of our relationship with Him. When you go to the book of Revelation, you'll find in the book of Revelation where the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." As we pointed out to you the other day, the reason we worship our God is because we understand by faith our relationship to Him. He is the Creator. We are the creation. Our existence has been, is, and always will be 100% totally dependent upon God. We live, we move, we have our very being and existence because of God. Our Creator, then, is obviously due and worthy our worship to Him. When you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13, here in the closing part of the 13th chapter through the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul is telling us through the Holy Spirit how that there are three primary motivators in the life of Christians: faith, hope, and love. The text says, "Now abides faith, hope, and love, these three, and the greatest of these is love." This is why we do what we do in our relationship with our God. We do what we do driven by our faith, driven by our hope, driven ultimately by our love for God. That is why we keep His commandments in our life. In our worship is an expression of this. We are expressing to our God when we are worshiping Him, we are expressing our faith. We're expressing our hope, and we're expressing our love. And this is what I'm trying to show you now in the sermon here this evening. Let's first show you how our worship is an expression of our faith. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 here, it tells us the importance of faith and our relationship with God. "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Now when we're dealing with faith, we're dealing with things we have not seen. And yet, if you're going to have a relationship with God whom you have not seen, you must, by faith, believe that He actually does exist. Otherwise, why would you worship Him? If you don't believe in the existence of God, why would you even want to assemble together with Christians who believe that He exists? We honestly, even though we've never seen Him, truly believe that God exists. We truly believe that He is the creator and sustainer of the universe and our lives. When you go over to Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20, it says, "For where two or three are gathered together in His name, I am there in the midst of them." We believe by faith, obviously not by sight because I can't see Him. So we believe by faith that Christ is even here with us now. And so you've got to understand the whole process of worship. You're worshiping somebody you haven't seen. You're worshiping somebody you can't see. And so the whole process of worship is driven by faith. When you are worshiping, please realize every single aspect of worship is an expression of faith. Because you're worshiping somebody you're not seeing. Go on to 1 Corinthians 11 now. He says here in verse 24 to 26, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Did you see Christ crucified? No. But I believe it happened. And not only do I believe that Jesus was crucified, I believe He's actually the Christ, the Son of God. And so it's not just the crucifixion of any old criminal, it's the crucifixion of the Son of God. It's the crucifixion of the Christ. And so realize this, when you're partaking of the Lord's Supper, and you're remembering the body of Christ. You're remembering the body of Christ is being done by faith because you're reflecting upon an event that you believe by faith actually happened in history that you did not see. Verse 25 says, in the same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. I didn't see the bloodshed. I didn't see that. You didn't see that. But I believe it happened. And I believe the blood that was shed by Jesus is indeed the blood that was shed for the remission of my sins. Why? Because he said so when he instituted the Lord's Supper. I believe it's the blood of the new covenant under which we live, where there is grace and the forgiveness of sins. Why do I believe that? By faith. And so whenever you're taking the Lord's Supper and you're remembering the blood of the Christ and you're focusing on your mind on Christ being scourged and Christ being crucified and the spear going into his side and the blood everywhere, when you're focusing your mind on the blood of the Christ, you are doing so by faith because you never saw it. And yet by faith in your mind, you're focusing on an event you never saw because you believe it honestly happened. Verse 26, it says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. It's not just the death of somebody, it's the Lord's death. And we are proclaiming that we believe this actually happened. So every time you take the Lord's Supper properly, you are expressing to God your faith in who Jesus is and what happened at Calvary. Going over to Ephesians now, chapter 5 and verse 19, another aspect of our worship. He says, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It is true from the Colossian letter that we're supposed to be teaching and admonishing one another when we're singing. But again, the Colossian letter, we learn when we're singing in worship to God, we're singing to the Lord. So please realize this. When actually you're worshiping correctly in song and you're singing to the Lord, you're singing to somebody you can't see. Let that sink in. You're singing to somebody you don't see. But you believe he's hearing it. And he's there. The mere act of worshiping God in song is an act of faith. Because you don't see him. So why are you doing it? He commanded it. But when you're doing it from your heart to him, it is driven totally by faith. Let me show you some of the songs we sing. By the way, I did this. I corrected this earlier, and it is not the song's numbers in your book. I have it on my computer. If you ever want that one, I'll give it to you. But look, just look at the titles of the songs we sing. Lord, I believe, we saw thee not. Standing on the promises, he lives. I know whom I have believed. Our God, he is alive. I know that my Redeemer lives. I believe in Jesus. Christ arose. Every one of those songs that we sing are songs of expressing our faith to God in song. 2 Corinthians now chapter 9, 7 through 8. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Even when you're giving, and you're giving back to God on the first day of the week, the text here talks about how you're doing this cheerfully. Not grudgingly or of necessity. The idea of grudgingly or of necessity is, I really don't want to do this. I really don't want to do this. I'd really rather keep it. Okay, then keep it. Because God is looking at your heart. He's wanting it to be cheerfully. But please understand this. Look at the next verse. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have all sufficiency and all things may have an abundance for every good work. By faith, we believe that the physical blessings we have in life were given to us by God. And the text here talks about giving back cheerfully a portion of that God has blessed you with, understanding that God is going to bless you even more. The point I'm trying to make is every single time you give back to God cheerfully, that is an act of faith because you recognize where it came from and you believe what he tells you he will do as far as blessing you. Now then, recognize this. Our worship is an expression of our hope. In Psalms 42 and verse 5, it says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God." Hope has to do with blessings. The last part of the verse says, "For I will yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Hope has to do with blessings that we honestly believe that God has given us, is giving us, and will give us. The text here talks about hoping in God and praising him because of the help that he is giving us in our life. Going over to some of the songs that we sing that deal with hope. "We shall see the King someday." Isn't that a song of hope? "When we all get to heaven." That's all about hope, of what we're looking to in the future. "Won't it be wonderful there? Sing to me of heaven. No tears in heaven. Never grow old. How beautiful heaven must be." Every time we're singing these songs, what we're expressing in our heart to our God is our hope that we have in you, that we've placed in you, the hope of the truth of heaven that I've never seen. Please understand this. Hope is a product of faith. Hope has to do with the promises God has made of the resurrection, the hope of eternal life, the hope of heaven, the hope of being with God, no tears in heaven. All of this has to do with the promises of God and by faith, believing those promises. And when we're singing songs of hope, we're trying to express to God in song our faith in the promises of God and that we sincerely hold to these hopes. Now then, Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Think about prayer with me, if you will. What are you doing when you're praying? You're talking to somebody you don't see. Just let that sink in. Every single time in your life you have ever prayed, that is an act of faith because you're talking to somebody that you don't see. And yet you believe that he's there. And not only do you believe that he's there, you're believing that he's hearing your prayer. And you're honestly believing that he will respond and help you. That's what the text is talking about here. You're going to the throne of grace. And you're going to obtain mercy and find help in time of need. And so when you're going to God in your time of need and you're casting all of your cares before him, that in and of itself is an act of faith and hope because you sincerely believe God will help. In Matthew 6:8, it says, "For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him." But when you ask him in prayer, you're asking with hope of answered prayer. 1 Peter 5:7, "Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Philippians 4:6-7, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." All of these are teaching the same thing. One, you're praying to a God that you haven't seen, and you honestly believe he cares about you. Your belief that God loves you is driven by faith. Your belief that he hears you is driven by faith. Your belief that he will respond to your prayers is where the peace of God that passes all understanding comes from. Because I sincerely believe the creator of the universe is responding to my petitions. And that's what hope is all about. That I have someone out there, the creator of the universe, who is responding to my prayers. Now, 1 Corinthians 11:26, he says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, You proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. You see, till he comes, not only am I proclaiming and I believe that he's the Christ and he's the Lord, he died for my sins at Calvary, I believe he's in heaven right now, and I believe he's coming back. Till he comes is the whole idea of the Lord is coming again, the King's coming again, judgment day's coming, the resurrection's coming, and heaven's coming, and I believe it by faith. Partaking of the Lord's Supper is not only proclaiming your faith, it's proclaiming your hope that he is indeed in heaven and he will indeed come again. And then the highest level of faith, and you should know this by now, the highest level of a Christian's faith is when you finally get to where you love somebody you've never seen. 1 John 4:16 says, "We have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him." This text is talking here about what we as Christians believe. We sincerely believe somebody we never saw is indeed the Son of God. He's not just a stranger. He's not just a nobody that died on a cross. This is the Son of God that God gave as a living sacrifice because he loved me. And when you recognize this, when you know and you believe the love that God has for you, it is an amazing thing that it can produce by faith. Dropping down to verse 19, he says, "We love him because he first loved us." This is what God is trying to get us to. Read the paper up here on the wall. What's the number one command? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That is the first and great commandment. That's what the Lord is warning us to get to. The highest level of your faith is when you sincerely, honestly love God whom you've never seen. And the way you get there is by faith of what happened at Calvary. And understanding what God did for me there. Going over to James chapter 1, 17 through 18. It says, "Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." The other day, I was on my anniversary, and I was sitting there at the Dixie Stampede and had to start fighting back the tears. And my wife was looking over at me, and I knew she could tell I was about to cry. And the reason was because I was going through my mind, and I was thinking, "God, you have been so good to me. I'm alive. And then you blessed me with my wife. And then you blessed me with three children, and now three grandchildren. And I get to live in America, and I get to worship God with my brethren, and I get to preach the Word of God." But when you realize he's the one that's given you all the blessings, every good gift, every perfect gift that's in your life, please understand where it came from. It didn't just happen. God is in your life, and God is blessing you richly. Be aware of the blessings, and be aware of where they come from. Going over to Hebrews 13, 15, it says, "Therefore, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." I can't imagine thanking God enough for his son. Can you? I can't imagine thanking God enough for allowing me to be reconciled to him through Christ. Or how about the spiritual gifts that you have in Christ? The forgiveness of sins, the hope of the resurrection to eternal life, the hope of being with God in heaven. All I know is to say thank you. Thank you again and again and again. And as I was sitting there thinking of all the blessings he had showered upon me in my life and realizing where they came from, you can't help but say, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And also at the same time, find yourself loving someone when you realize you're the one that's been blessing me with all these wonderful things in my life. It's not just coincidence. It's not me getting these things for myself. It is you who's blessing me. Psalm says in chapter 13, verse 6, I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Amen. He's dealt bountifully with me. So therefore, I will sing to him. In Luke chapter 7, verse 47, therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. I got a question for you. Is there anybody here this evening, adults, are any of you here that's been forgiven a little? Just a little? No. I've been forgiven much. Be conscious and aware of how much you have been forgiven by God. How great the debt is of what we have committed against God that he has forgiven us. And love much by faith. You see, when you understand what's been done for you, what it cost for him to do it for you through his son, and all the blessings that are in your life, physical and spiritual, when you come to understand the great love of God for you by faith, you start loving God whom you've never seen. And our worship is an expression of that love. Psalm 51, verse 14, deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. Remember in the context here, David's responsible for murdering Uriah the Hittite and committing adultery. He says, the God of my salvation, but notice the rest of the verse, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. This is the idea, you've forgiven me, and I understand you've forgiven me, and so therefore I will sing of your righteousness. Psalms again, 71:23, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul which you have redeemed. Again, from Psalms 96 and verse 2, sing to the Lord, bless his name. Why? Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. These texts are talking about why sing to God. Because you realize all the blessings he's showering upon you, redemption of your soul, salvation, forgiveness of sin. So therefore, yes, sing. Sing to the one you love. Hebrews says in chapter 2 and 12, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. Well, let's see some of these songs that we sing that are an expression of our love. Oh, how I love Jesus. My Jesus, I love thee. More love to thee, O Christ. Jesus is all the world to me. I will be a friend to Jesus, nearer still nearer, nearer my God to thee, the great Redeemer. Glorify thy name. You see, you've sung these songs before. And when you're singing these songs, what you're expressing to your God from your heart is very simply, I love you. It is an expression of worship and song, of love to your God for all the wonderful things he has done for you in your life, to where you've actually gotten to the point to where you love him. And expressing it in song is the most natural, easy thing for you to do. Going to 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 through 18, he says, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You see, whenever you're praying to God, yes, it's driven by faith. Yes, it's driven by hope. But also, there's thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is recognizing that all the blessings that are in your life right now, that every single one of those blessings is being given to you by the Father of lights. And in turn, when you're praying, part of that prayer is, thank you, thank you, thank you. Psalms 116, verse 1, I love the Lord. because he has heard my voice and my supplications. I have a book in my library. It's called my prayer book. If you ever want to look at it, I should be glad to show it to you. And in my prayer book, I have on one page the prayer. And on the other page, the answer to the prayer. And it is filled. It is literally filled. The prayers from my life, and then the answer to the prayer. Why did I put this together? Because sometimes we can get so caught up in our life and so busy that we lose focus of this great reality as children of God. And that is, the hand of God is in your life. You're not alone. The hand of God is in your life. He hears your prayers. Your prayers. And he's answering them. The psalmist says in 116, I love the Lord. Why? Because he heard my voice and my supplications. When I have gone to God in prayer and prayed for the extension of my life. Well, I'm here, aren't I? Thank you, Lord. Every second, every minute, all I can say is, thank you, Lord. And not, well, isn't that coincidence? If you think the blessings are coincidence, you're missing it. God's hand is in your life, and he is showering you richly with blessings. And he is hearing your prayers, and he is answering them. And being aware of this great blessing, love the Lord for hearing your voice, your petitions, your supplications, your prayers, your petitions that you carry to his throne. So, what are we doing when we're worshiping? We are expressing to God what's in our heart. And hopefully as Christians, what is in our heart is our faith, our hope, and our love, expressed in the Lord's Supper, expressed in prayer, expressed in song, expressed even when we're giving back to God. Every aspect of worship is an expression to our God in worship what's in our heart. I appreciate your kind attention. If there's anybody here this evening, though, who is not a member of the one body yet, and you honestly in your heart believe that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Son of God, you understand that he really did die at Calvary for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. If you're not a Christian yet, you need to be open and willing to confess this faith, and then motivated by your faith, make the commitment of repentance to keep his commandments in your life by faith. If you're willing to make that commitment and confess his name, we'd be glad to assist you and baptize you into the one body for the remission of your sins. If you're a child of God and there's sin between you and your God that you have not dealt with, we want to encourage you to deal with it. Take the sin to your God, confess it to him, and turn from it. The Lord is willing to forgive you. The blood of the Christ is there for you even now. Take the sin to him and turn from it. We as your family will pray for you. We'll pray with you. We'll do the very best we can to try to encourage you. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song which has been selected.